Houses selling for $1 million are spreading far and wide. I'm David Brancaccia. The value of a typical home has hit $1 million in a record number of U.S. cities. This using data from the real estate site Zillow. The median home value crossed the seven-figure mark in now 550 cities, an increase of 59 cities over last year. That means it's not just lots of million-dollar homes in places like San Francisco, New York, or L.A., Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
It's been a while since most buyers batted an eye at a million-dollar listing in San Francisco or Los Angeles, says California realtor Mark Willey. But when he moved to the San Luis Obispo area of the Central Coast about 15 years ago, a million-dollar home was something special.
That was like luxury living, right? I mean, that was cream of the crop.
Often with actual crops, like acres of grapevines or a view of the ocean. But now?
In San Luis Obispo proper, $1 million gets you a dump.
And $1 million mortgage is more expensive than even a year ago. Price increases have slowed, but not reversed, because there's stiffer competition for fewer homes. There's something symbolic about $1 million home becoming typical, says economist Greg Kimbrough at American University.
It does speak to sort of how out of whack things have gotten.
He says first-time home buyers have been completely shut out of many markets, and new construction isn't keeping up with demand. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
A big reading on consumer prices comes out later this morning. It'll cover March and will give us a better sense of progress in the fight against inflation and the future of interest rates. Marketplace's Nova Safo has a preview.
Many on Wall Street had expected interest rate cuts as early as March, then May, now maybe June or July. That's because of the data and the parade of Federal Reserve officials signaling that they're in no hurry to cut rates, including Fed Governor Michelle Bauman in prepared remarks on Friday.
We are still not yet at the point where it's appropriate to lower the policy rate, and I continue to see a number of upside risks to inflation.
And while unlikely, she said the Fed might even need to hike rates. A big reason officials think the last bit of overheated inflation will be tricky to cool down is because of the housing market. Home prices continue to rise despite higher mortgage rates, and that's pushed up a measure known as owner equivalent rent. In other words, the cost of shelter. And that is the biggest component of the consumer price index. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
A pair of Russian oligarchs won a big one in a top European Union court, in the process rattling efforts to apply sanctions to Russian interests given Moscow's war on Ukraine. The court has ruled the EU didn't come up with enough evidence to show that Mikhail Fridman and Peter Avan supported efforts to undermine Ukraine, despite evidence of their proximity to Russian leader Vladimir Putin. This ruling today can be appealed. Now to a lush assignment out of the book industry, the media scholar who has studied propaganda in war, who got a deal to write a book about a drink. It's on a single cocktail, the French 75. Humphrey Bogart orders one in the movie classic Casablanca. The cocktail survives with a brand these days linked to New Orleans, but the history and the marketing behind it is even more interesting. The book, out today, was written by John Maxwell Hamilton, a professor at the Manship School of Mass Communication at Louisiana State. Jack, welcome back.
Good to see you.
Why they call this thing the French 75?
This is a cocktail that was born out of propaganda and carries on because it's so easily publicized. It was created in World War I and named after a famous cannon, 75-millimeter cannon, which the French used in that war, and it helped them a great deal because it was the first modern artillery piece. And some people think it actually helped save Paris when the Germans marched in.
So somehow that reference helped give it somehow cachet?
The French were first struggling in the war, and they wanted something that they could hang propaganda on. And because the French 75 gun was so effective, it was a way for them to create this aura about the war and the gun. And then, of course, a whole lot of other things were named French 75s. Cocktail shakers, chocolate spools of cotton, handkerchiefs, cigarette lighters. The French 75 became this name that you use for promotion.
And marketing didn't go out of business after the First World War, and that helped over the years.
You're right. Promotion did carry on. In fact, you could argue that modern advertising and public relations grew out of World War I. The tactics we use now to sell, to brand things, really began in that conflict.
But over the years, it just somehow this French 75 keeps getting new life as people attach their brands to it, attach their names to it.
The drink itself, its history is forgotten, but the name, it has a certain je ne sais quoi. If you order a French 75, there's something about you. You're cosmopolitan. The other side is the drink has managed to reinvent itself over and over again. So the first one had Calvados in it, and it had absinthe and gin. And then the ones that exist today, sometimes they have gin and champagne. There's one in the Atlas Bar in Singapore, and it has creme pêche and salt. So it changes all the time.
Indeed. I keep seeing the statistics that Generation Z, for instance, consuming less alcohol, sober, curious mindset. To be praised, is there a way to do a French 75 that might be non-alcoholic?
I'm sorry to say there is. You can also do French 75 Jello shots. But if you don't want to drink a French 75 that has alcohol in it, go get a Dr. Pepper.
John Maxwell Hamilton is a professor at Louisiana State University and a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Always good to catch up.
Thank you very much, David.
The book's title's to the point, The French 75. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report, as he says in Casablanca. Here's looking at you, kid. APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.